Now, here's your host, Steve Riemann, with Fidelity National Title.
Hello out there, and welcome to a special real estate roundtable broadcast of all things real estate, the best place for real estate news and commentary. Hi, today I'm Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title. I'm guest hosting the show today while Ray Post is out of town attending to family matters. We'll miss you, Ray. Hope you have a good time with family. We look forward to you coming back and hosting the show again next week. I want to give a special welcome to all the buyers, sellers, renters, homeowners, and real estate brokers who are tuning into the show today. In a few minutes, I will introduce my in-studio guest, but before we get going with that, I invite you to go to our website and check out all the businesses who are fans and supporters of all things real estate and offer an array of very useful services. Simply go to allthingsrealestateradio.com. Again, that's allthingsrealestateradio.com, and check out these stellar companies. One of these companies we want to call out today is TCI Roofing. Offers a range of professional roofing products and services that may just be right for you. For more information, give Camille Montoya a call at 471-9230. That's 471-9230. Or you can check out their TC&I Roofing by going to their website or going to our website, allthingsrealestateradio.com, and click on the radio icon and find the list of supporters that encourage our show. As always, if you want to send us your real estate comments and questions today, please do so by text. The email technical capability is not there today, but we'll take your text questions at my phone number. That's 920-5941, and text us a message or your question, and we'll try and address it in today's show. We have a very full show today, so I want to kick things off by getting some state-of-the-market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to all things real estate. Good afternoon, Andrew, and what have you got for our listeners today?
Hi, Steve. Well, as you know, we've been through several years of chaos and mess in the mortgage world. And as a result, and as I have been noting over the past several weeks, government regulators have tightened the noose around mortgage fraud to the point where even the rest of us, are the non-fraudulent, are having trouble breathing. Loans are available to most borrowers with documentable income, and rates still are very advantageous to those borrowers. But the process is getting harder and harder, requiring extreme patience from me and the borrower. Not only is it tedious before approval, but some lenders even come back after closing for more information. This has come about because most loans go to the ultimate investor through Fannie and Freddie. Earlier in the year, Fannie Mae sent $3.5 billion in loans back to lenders saying that they were improperly documented. And since no lender has the ability or the desire to carry these loans on their books for a long time, the result is today is excessive documentation in underwriting. This means, for example, having 2 and 3 means of documenting income: pay stubs, W-2, written verification of income, and pre-closing and then post-closing verification of income. Portfolio lenders, usually providing jumbo loans, are easier to deal with in terms of documentations, but they have their own quirks. The bottom line is that there is almost no wiggle room, and borrowers must be open to being very patient with this excessive documentation. It's trying to all of us.
Well, that's absolutely true, Andrew. The borrower has to be very patient nowadays. They've got to bring all the documentation they can. But there is money available, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, because of this over-documentation in underwriting, there's this idea that, oh, it's more difficult to get a loan. Well, yes, it is, but if you are qualified, you can still get loans. And, you know, you at the title company see the end point of this, where even to get the loan funded, you have to jump through a bunch of different hoops. So it just needs patience.
It surely does, Andrew. At the title company, Fidelity Title, we've been going through some of our documents lately and some of our maps, and we found a bunch of information back to 1846. And in 1846, you could buy some lots here in Santa Fe, but you were paying 10% interest. So people have to realize that, yeah, you have to be patient for this market, but there's money available and very affordable money.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much. Good sage advice from our friend Andrew Hoffman at All Things Real Estate. We look forward to talking to you next week, Andrew.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks so much to Andrew Hoffman, the advisor to All Things Real Estate. Andrew does a great job in this market. And although his message today was a bit about patience and even sounded a bit dreary, there's good money in the market. There's affordable money. In 1926 also, we saw some plats this week in our office. 1926, buying lots in Santa Fe, you were paying 10% interest and getting mortgages for 2 years. That was pretty expensive compared to today's market. We're in a much better loan market today, although you do have to have the patience. I am very pleased today to invite to have in studio here a good friend of ours and a co-worker of ours in the Albuquerque office of Fidelity National Title. His name is Bill Wooten. He is past president, or just immediate past president, of the New Mexico Land Title Association. He's also a senior vice president and a hardworking guy at Fidelity National Title. We're very glad to have you on the radio today. Welcome, Bill.
Steve, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Bill and his wife came up this morning to play some tennis this afternoon in Santa Fe here, and also came up to be a part of the radio show. Bill, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your history in the business?
Well, I've been in Albuquerque since 1975. Graduated from the University of New Mexico and got my real estate license. Thought I'd make a fortune in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Lasted about 6 months and didn't. So now I went. Then I got a job working in the title insurance business, and that was in 1978. And I've been doing that ever since. And I've had the privilege of working in various markets in the state. I've worked in the Albuquerque Metro office complex. I've also worked up in Taos and Rio Riba counties, Santa Fe. So it's been a very, very good experience.
And you use the word just as we were sort of discussing at breakfast. You really do call this job a privilege, don't you?
Oh, it's wonderful because we get to help people.
Yeah.
We get to help people realize the dream of home ownership here in the state of New Mexico.
Uh-huh. And we're dealing with family heritages. We're dealing with real-life people and their investment in real estate as well as their investment in their home.
You know, this is the when you buy a home, it's usually the biggest investment that a person will make in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And in the title insurance business, we never lose sight of that. And we do the best that we can to make sure that it's protected and handled well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our job is the safe and secure transaction of real estate.
We do facilitate, that's correct.
Absolutely right, yeah. We always say that, we have the privilege of moving properties along from families and inheritances, and that's a special privilege for us.
And heritage is a good word for property ownership here in New Mexico because there has been common family ownership of so many properties, particularly here in Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
And in the outlying rural areas. And for us to enable that to continue is indeed, it's a privilege.
Great, great. Well, glad you joined us today. You're also, Bill, the immediate past president of the New Mexico Land Title Association. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, it's a state association. It's a professional association of a majority of title companies and title agents in the state of New Mexico. It's over 80 years old. Which gives you an idea of how long we've been helping people. We are very much a voice for the industry in legislative and regulatory matters, and we interface with the American Land Title Association on national matters that they bring to our attention as well. And it's been fun. This is my second time doing it, and it was a good experience, and I'm very pleased to have done it.
Great, great. And we sure appreciate the service because the NMLTA is an extremely important organization to those of us in the industry, not only being our voice to the legislators and in the annual regulatory, and I think it's now semi-annual.
The
regulatory process where our rates are set and we hold hearings to do that. And so the NMLTA is a huge organization. How many members do you think we have in the organization now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're probably up around maybe 70. And remember that these reprimand, these companies that are included in the membership, they represent about 4,000 people.
Uh-huh.
4,200 people that are employed throughout the state in this business.
It's quite intricate, a much larger industry than I think people do realize because of the labor intensity nature of the business. Many folks will think that, you know, we press a few buttons and out on a computer rolls a title policy, when in fact everything has got to be reviewed and determined through our employees, who work hard to examine the thousands and millions of documents every day.
And that's a hallmark of title insurance. Title insurance eliminates the risk up front. It is a guarantee. Essentially, the title policy is an indemnity contract for what may have occurred before the time you took title, versus a hazard insurance policy that you get in your house, which insures against something that may happen in the future, or on your car insurance.
Right.
And so it's labor intensive, as you said, and there's a lot of work that goes into trying to eliminate the risk.
Yeah, I think that too many people, or a lot of people, look at our industry as if it is a statistical risk-based casualty sort of insurance, similar to that of auto insurance, for instance, or home insurance, that you pay $600-$800 a year on for your home insurance, when in fact what we do is examine the life history of that property, or the property that's being transacted, and look to eliminate eliminate any problems that the buyers and the lenders, for that matter, can feel secure with their investments in the property.
Indeed, and as an owner, you only pay your premium once.
Right.
And that protection will last for you for as long as you have an interest in that property. Now, compare that to a homeowner's insurance policy or an auto insurance policy, where you have to pony up the money each and every year.
Right. It's a distinctive product for sure. With that indication from Gino Thompson, our producer, we'll take a break. We're sitting with Bill Wooten at Fidelity National Title. I'm Steve Reiman. We'll be back in just a couple minutes today for Ray Post on all things real estate. So glad to have you as our guests today and our listeners. And we want to be of service to you any way that we can. If you have a question today, we invite you to text us at 920-5941. And that happens to be my personal number, folks, so you're always welcome to call me with your real estate title questions, as well as contacting us at Fidelity National Title. 995-8800 is our main number there. We welcome to today our in-studio guest, Mr. Bill Wooten, who works for Fidelity and is also the past president of the New Mexico Land Title Association. Before we took the break, Bill, we were discussing the impact of the industry, the size of the industry, which is largely unknown here in New Mexico and around the country. Again, most folks sit there would think that we sit and plug a few numbers into a computer and press a few buttons and out comes a title search, when that's not the case. I know you brought some materials today that you wanted to mention with respect to the industry at large. Why don't you address some of those?
Well, these are some numbers that are taken from a national level, but they're intriguing. Some of the public benefits that the title insurance brings is that at no cost to the taxpayers, the title industry will collect $1.75 billion per year in back income taxes.
This is through the closing process.
Where
we're finding liens, back tax liens, etc., where people have skipped out on paying their taxes, and yet through the closing process, we're able to collect over almost $2 billion, you said?
Almost $2 billion, 1.75. And there's another point to be made about what we do, is that there's one out of every three transactions that are brought to a New Mexico title insurance company requires some sort of curative action. And it could be finding that tax liens are against an individual who owns a piece of property. They need to be paid. Here's another statistic. At no cost to the taxpayers, the title industry collects over $3 billion per year in delinquent real estate taxes. We may have taxes that are owing for 3 or 4 years on a local piece of property. We collect those and we give them to the proper taxing authorities.
That's all a part, isn't it, Bill, of that safe and secure transaction model that we were talking about, where sellers and buyers have liens against them that have to be cleared up to make sure that the property travels to the next consumer fully secure without any liens attaching to it.
That's right. We look at all sorts of different areas for information to conduct the closing, and that includes looking at the tax assessment records, the treasurer records, we look at district court records, we look at federal district court records, and then we also look at the county clerk records.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All of that goes into a very complex process of a commitment or a binder to folks so that they know sort of a roadmap, if you will, the requirements that are necessary to fulfill in order to transact the property.
And you touched on it a moment ago when you said that people may not be very familiar with what it is that we do. You know, the only time they have an experience with a title company is when they come into the closing.
Right.
And they sit down and they get a closing statement and a pile of documents from the lender, if you happen to be the buyer. And you look on that closing statement and there's this one line item that says title insurance, and it's so and so many dollars. And they were in the closing room for 15, 20 minutes, and they walk out and go, wow, that was quite a bit of money that I paid for only 15 or 20 minutes for being there. But as we talked before, it's a very labor-intensive process in order to get them to that closing table. And that's how that's where the cost comes in.
Oh, absolutely. The title insurance product then that comes out, frankly, after closing and is sent to the consumer after closing and sent to the lender after consumer after closing, that is actually the binding contract, is it not, of indemnity that secures and protects the homeowner.
Correct.
That there are no liens against the property other than that which they know of or they create, and also lets them know what the limitations of usage on their property. We call them exceptions. Would you address what the sort of definition of an exception is for?
Well, you know, during the search process, we take a look at all those items which we find in the public records which affect that particular piece of property. And those items could range from reservations contained in the original patent from the United States, where they reserve the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
They could also include utility easements that are granted by prior owners that traverse the property, restrictive covenants which restrict the use of the property as to residential, or if you've got a condominium or a commercial piece, you have certain uses that you can do with it. It also would include items that may have been created by a judicial decree where there was a dispute that needed to go to resolution, and the resolution was put in the public record and was binding upon the properties in the future.
So then, in essence, the title insurance commitment and then policy after closing is not only a roadmap to a safe transaction, but it's all about disclosure, isn't it?
It is.
So that the property owners know in advance, prior to closing on their purchase, what burdens are against the property, what limitations on use might be, and all of those exceptions are, in fact, disclosures that lets the consumer know what he can and he can't do with his property.
Our aim in getting the reports out in a timely manner are exactly that, is in order to enable the seller and the buyer to have adequate time to review these items, so that if there are any questions or any issues that are found, they can be addressed prior to the closing, because you certainly don't want to have issues arise when you're at the closing table because somebody didn't get a piece of information that they should have had.
Absolutely right, and we work very hard for no surprises whatsoever at the closing table. And the title policy that ultimately comes to the consumer or the lender after closing, that's a contract of indemnity, isn't it, that essentially if we have failed to disclose some limitations on the property, and that results in a loss to that consumer, they have claim rights against the title company.
That's correct. We are, if there's something that we missed, and we are human,
right,
and even with all the technology and the expertise that we have, there are things that we may miss at times. That contract, as you will, the policy, does protect them and enable them to have redress against the insurer.
Right. And a lot of folks don't realize that we have millions of dollars, even billions of dollars, in reserve pending the arrival of claims and seeking the insurance, seeking the redresses.
Indeed. And if I would strongly suggest that if you do have a title policy and you'd be interested into the strength of your insurer, just go to their websites and take a look at their claims reserve. I think you'll be astounded because it's not in the millions, it's in the billions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're also taking the opportunity, aren't you, there, Bill, to brag about Fidelity because we have more reserves for claims than any other company.
We do. We are the number one title insurance company in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and we carry a very strong reserve to protect our insureds.
Right, and that's ultimately our job here. I know that, Gino, we're probably looking at a break. Before we do, folks, I want to remind you about one of the Santa Fe's well-regarded institutions. That's Santa Fe Trust, New Mexico's largest independent trust company. Santa Fe Trust offers a full range of products and services, including personal, custodial, life insurance, special needs, and charitable lead trusts, as well as private foundation administration. For more information, we invite you to call their CEO, Kathy Roberts, and her team of professionals at 984-2700. That's 984-2700. And let Santa Fe Trust assist you with your own real estate and estate planning activities.
PRC.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate, the show today. I'm Steve Reiman with Fidelity National Title, guest hosting for Ray Post. Ray will be back next week, and I know you all anticipate that, but it's my pleasure to sit at the golden microphone today with our in-studio guest, Bill Wooten from Fidelity National Title, our producer, Gino Thompson, sitting here with his gold headphones on. He's a jammer, folks. I want to take a moment to tell you about Santa Fe's own Westgate Properties, which specializes in management of multi-tenant commercial properties and homeowners associations. Now Westgate Properties has the goal of promoting community through highly responsive management with the aim that the quality of life and work and the value of their clients' investments is improved. For more information, call Tom Simons at Westgate Properties. That's 995-3134. That's 995-3134. And learn more about the services of this well-regarded commercial property and homeowners association management company. Our in-studio guest today is Bill Wooten. We're discussing the title insurance industry, and Bill had brought some statistics earlier that we were letting the listeners know where the title insurance industry benefits the community and where it stands in the community. It's not one of those hidden agendas or hidden companies out there. It's a hidden industry. It's the one you need when you go to sell or purchase or borrow money for real estate purposes. And, Bill, you were talking about the industry nationwide. Did you bring some other stats or some other ideas that we can let the listeners know about our industry?
Well, just a couple more to flesh out what we say about what the title business does during the course of a title search and the closing process. As we talked about, we look at the public records, and we look at both in the public record, not only at the real estate property records, but we also check out individuals to make sure that they don't have anything against them. We mentioned paying back federal taxes that people may owe under tax liens. They also do that on the state level, but we also, on a national level, collect $325 million per year in delinquent child support payments. Because we have to look at divorce decrees and make sure that they're complied with and that the parties to the decrees are fulfilling their obligations. As we talked about also, that there is one in every three transactions that come in the door has some sort of curative work that needs to be done. We also help the county clerks out because we spend $225 million a year correcting errors in the public property records, because when we do our search and examination, we find that there may have been scrivener's errors in the documents when they were prepared that lead to problems, and we bring them to the attention of the county clerks. There are instances also that the county clerks may go to the title companies to help fill in gaps mm-hmm. in their records because the record that they have was either destroyed or lost or not available, and the title company just would happen to have that record. So we fill in the hole in that fabric.
And that's very specific towards Santa Fe as well. Fidelity Title owns the oldest title plant, the original Avery Bowman title plant. It's actually built by a couple of ladies by the name of Avery and Bowman. And we have the original title plant for the county, and so quite often the county will call us looking for plats, maps, property subdivisions, etc., that are missing in the actual public record, but we have them in our plant.
Right.
It's a special privilege to manage that particular title plant and to be a part of the history and legacy of Santa Fe through our records. In fact, like I said, we've been finding some great maps, flyers, brochures, property information dating back to the 1850s or so. It's just more fun than I can stand.
Well, you know, and it speaks to the original intent of what title companies did. What we originally did is we provided abstracts
mm-hmm.
Back in the early part, in the late part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century. And the title companies would compile the abstracts of title and deliver them to the attorneys in town, who would actually do the opinions and then also conduct the closings. And it was up that persisted probably through the end of World War II, when the modern title company came in, and the searching and the examination and the closing process was all consolidated under one roof, which is what the consumer finds today.
Right, and rather than relying on that attorney's opinion and the attorney's errors and omissions insurance, because attorneys are human too, they make
right.
mistakes as well. Now we have an insurance product with plenty of reserves to back up the insurance policy that we issue.
That's right.
Advantages to a title insurance policy to a lender are enormous and obviously critical to lenders loaning money in the marketplace. Why don't you tell us about the value to the lender of a mortgagee's policy?
Our purpose in providing an insurance policy for a lender is to make sure that the collateral is not compromised in any way. We want to make sure that it's the proper property that they're making the loan on, that the individuals owning the piece of real estate do indeed own that piece of real estate, that it's in taxes are all paid on it. And we also, through getting surveys on the property, we can get a picture of what sits out there on the property, and if there's any encroachments or other matters that need to be addressed, then we can clean it up for them.
Right. And the enforceability of that mortgage against the collateral is
again,
what the lender's really after.
Yeah, it maybe as a side, yes. The priority of the lien is paramount to the lender. They don't want to be behind anybody, and we ensure that they are in a first lien position.
And the first lien position relates to if you're going to buy a house for $300,000 and you're going to borrow $250,000 to do it, that lender is not going to loan you $250,000 and be in anything other than first position for collection against the rights of the property.
And that's correct. They love to make you the loan, but they got to be first.
Yeah, and obviously that's the product that we supply to them, which is why as not only every time that you buy or sell a home do you buy title insurance, but also any time there's a refinance, because there's a new mortgage document pledging that home as collateral to secure the debt, and that title insurance policy, that new mortgage needs to be insured, even though there was an old mortgage on the property.
That's right, and it goes to the nature of the policy that we provide to the lender. That policy is finite, and it expires upon the expiration of the mortgage, the payment and release of that mortgage. So when you do go to the bank, they're going to want to have an updated policy to make sure, again, like we said, that the collateral hasn't been compromised.
And that's where things have happened, because people have split their property with subdivision plats, or someone in the family has passed away, and
right.
we've had to do some curative work, or there's been a divorce scenario, and we have curative work to make sure that that new lien is enforceable against the property.
Correct. And even though it may have been only 6 years, a lot of things can happen in 6 years, as you said.
Amen to that. Amen to that. We're going to take another break here, Gino, and come back with some other segments of the show. We're going to invite our listeners to text us at 92059. Welcome back, radio listeners, to All Things Real Estate. Today is Sunday's edition. I'm Steve Reiman with Fidelity National Title, hosting the show today with my in-studio guest, Bill Wooten. And if you can tell from that music that we are approaching our open house segment, a weekly segment that we use to contact one of the local brokers at one of their open houses. Before we do that, we're going to take an opportunity to speak about some of our other sponsors, one of which includes Wynn Home Inspections. And we invite you to contact Wynn Home Inspections. Randy is the local owner or local operator, and Paul and Bonnie Norris from Rio Rancho are the owners, and they run an operation down there in Albuquerque. And I know Paul very well. He was the best man at my wedding about 7 years ago. I should say almost precisely 7 years ago. Yes, Angie, I do remember the date. And Paul and Bonnie run a great operation. Right now we're seeing a lot of interest in home inspections prior to listing the home. There is such a process going on in the marketplace now where buyers are really using the inspection process to try and get price compromises. And so we're using pre-inspections now to let the seller know what the seller might anticipate in objections from the buyer prior to ever listing, and in some cases doing the repairs to the home prior to listing that property so as to sort of negate that that part of the negotiation process. Give Wynn Home Inspections a call. Sorry, I don't have their phone number in front of me, but I'm sure they're in the, you know, they're in the book. And look up Wynn Home Inspections and give Paul, Bonnie, and Randy a call. The open house segment today is taking place at 1105 West Alameda. And our hostess today is Paige Ingebrigtsen. Paige, how are you today?
I'm great. Good morning, Steve.
Oh, good morning. And another Sunday open house inviting your clients to come out and see the property. You know the drill. You've got about 2 or 3 minutes to tell us all about 1105 West Alameda.
Great. Thank you so much. So I'm thrilled to be here with you this morning and to be able to tell you a little about this house at 1105 West Alameda. The home is located west on Alameda, obviously, just down from St. Francis and the Casa Solana Center. So this property offers a sleek twist to the traditional Casa Solana stamp. It is a three-bedroom, one-bathroom home, just under 1,300 square feet. It is an in-town oasis offering soft, contemporary detail with custom metalwork and thoughtful updating. You are greeted by a traditional oak floor and Kiva fireplace in the living room, which seamlessly blend with a modern update of the open kitchen. And I have to tell you, Steve, this kitchen is really special. Anyone who likes to cook or entertain will be so happy with all of the one-of-a-kind finishes that are in there and the custom cabinetry and the hardwood. It's really just open and bright and beautiful. There are dual sinks in the kitchen with abundant workspace and a really sleek design. The office or the mudroom has significant storage opportunities and a wonderful space for a home office or private entrance. So if someone wanted to have a business with a side entrance, there are dual gates available, and someone could very easily accommodate that. The landscaping is very professional. It's fully landscaped and completely enclosed by private walls. And there's also a shed in the back of the property that has custom metal doors, which would be perfect for an artist or a craftsman, someone who wants to build and perhaps not bother someone who's in the house. It's completely separate, has beautiful custom metal gates that open to the shed. And the pride of the ownership in this property is reflected through the quality and the detail in the home. It's really one of a kind. I really encourage everyone to come by and see me today between 2:30 and 4 at 1105 West Alameda.
That's 2:30 till 4 today at 1105 West Alameda. It sounds like a very unique home. You know, Casa Solana has some of the more romantic and sort of foxy homes in town, being so close to downtown as well. But you've got a lot of custom upgrades and custom repairs in that home, don't you?
There really are. You know, a lot of that neighborhood was developed in the late 50s and the early 60s, and it's a really great neighborhood, but it's really close to town. There's a great mixture of families and people who have lived there for the entire time that the neighborhood was developed, and as well as people who were buying, you know, more recently in the last few years. So it's a really unique neighborhood that it is so close to town. Most of the homes in there are very traditional with the wood floors and the kiva fireplace, but this is really special. It's very contemporary and has a really unique blend of the finishes there, and it's really one of a kind.
Paige, thanks for joining us today. Now, I do think you neglected to tell us one special piece of information, and that is the list price on that home.
Oh, I sure did. It's $329,000. I appreciate you mentioning that, Steve. It comes in handy.
Well, well-priced property, custom-made home in Casa Solana. That's 1105 West Alameda, and you'll be there from 2:30 to 4 today. Is that right, Paige?
That is very true.
Great, and we invite all of our listeners to take an afternoon drive over to 1105 Alameda and check out a wonderful Casa Solana home and be greeted by Paige with Sotheby's Real Estate. Thanks, Paige, for joining us today. We're back to our in-house guest, Mr. Bill Wooten, from Fidelity National Title and from the New Mexico Land Title Association. Bill, lest we neglect NMLTA, tell us a couple other things that NMLTA will do for not only industry, but perhaps even for the consumer. And specifically, I'm begging the question with respect to rates and promulgated hearings.
You know, the reason that the industry chose to be regulated back in 1985 was exactly that, was to protect the consumer. And under the regulatory environment that we work in, there's two facets to it, really. The first facet, of course, has to do with the rates and the cost that we charge for the policies that we issue. But the second has to do with the rules that we operate under. And what those rules prescribe are the policy forms that we offer, as well as the additional coverages and the endorsements that we can give. And what that does for the consumer is it provides a standard product in the state of New Mexico. You can get the same coverage in Farmington with the policy and the endorsements that you could down in Las Cruces, that you could do over in Raton, in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, down in Deming or in Silver City. There's really no surprises for the consumer. And in our efforts to disclose everything, we will be upfront about what is available for them. Mm-hmm. And that is really the upshot of the regulatory environment for the consumers, that they have a standardized product. And everybody works under the same rules in providing that product.
And that consistency is much demanded and much needed in as complex an industry as real estate. Now, the New Mexico Land Title Association also represents the industry professionals in their rate hearings every other year. A lot of folks are familiar with our rate structure, but some are not. That is a week-long process of rate hearings every other year to set our rates, go over forms, et cetera. Why don't you tell us about that?
It's the rate hearing is conducted under the by the Department of Insurance, which is under the Public Regulatory Commission. And during this hearing process, there is testimony that's provided by the industry, by the Department of Insurance, and by the Attorney General's office. They often intervene and want to act on behalf of the consumer. And the testimony relates to the experience of the industry over the last year or so prior to the hearing as to the profitability of the industry and what that profitability or non-profitability, as it has been lately, bears on the rates that are charged for the policies that we do. And it can be a rather intensive process.
Yeah.
And it's not particularly intriguing at times, but it is necessary.
And it's good to see. I've been to a number of those hearings, of course, and the various issues that are respected there in terms of consumer issues, industry issues, legal issues from the AG's office, those sorts of things. We take into consideration the low low-income housing things and, you know, the various rate changes that happen for various different segments in the marketplace. And we also address the discounts that are available and consumers should ask for in every occasion the discounts, although we are essentially supposed to give those discounts in the industry without even being asked.
Well, as a result of the 2009 legislative session, there was a new statute that came out that allows for a discounted rate for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also the underwriters have the opportunity to come in and file lower rates than what may be promulgated through the hearings. And although there hasn't been no opportunity by the underwriters to file those rates, we haven't seen that yet. Oftentimes, the consumer may not be aware that they're getting the discount because the statute asks for certain information be provided to the title company in order for the discount to be given. And it's oftentimes the title company does that ahead of time. And gets the information on its own so that it affords the consumer the best discount that it can.
Great. And what Bill's speaking there, listeners, is the reissue rates that are available for title insurance. And quite often we are able to obtain a copy of your prior title insurance policies for you and automatically give you the discounts without even asking, without even inquiring. And so we are proactive in making sure that our costs are affordable to the consumer, not only that we give the biggest and best protection that we can, but that the expenses are affordable as a part of the closing. It is expensive to buy and sell real estate, although, folks, there's no denying that this is probably, you know, we're all told all of our lives to buy low and sell high. This is about as good a time, isn't it, Bill, to buy low?
You know, there has been a resurgence. I wouldn't call it a tidal wave. However, there is an increase in the market, and particularly down in the Albuquerque area. And I noticed we talked earlier that there is a little resurgence here in the Santa Fe market as well. And we are seeing deals that are coming across the desk that are bona fide purchase offers. We also have a very strong short sale market, and there's also a very strong REO market,
right?
That are real estate owned market. That is the properties that are owned by the banks that they're selling. Commercial was moribund for a while, and it twitched every now and then, but it seems to be showing some signs of life now, particularly in the Rio Grande corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to make the distinction between what happens in the Rio Grande corridor, that is between Santa Fe and Las Cruces, and then the outlying areas. They're two totally different markets.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a different ballgame if you're in Roy, New Mexico, and conducting a real estate closing than it would be if you were in Albuquerque or Santa Fe.
Well, and the records are so very difficult the farther you get away from the metropolitan areas. We talk often about searching Albuquerque properties can get a little bit lot and block sort of standardized stuff, and then you get to Santa Fe where we share driveways and where people's easements cross other people's properties, and some of the histories are so difficult to obtain, and then of course we deal with municipal issues like legal lots of record to make sure that the property can be used for what you want to use it for.
And your real estate audience is perhaps the most sophisticated in the state.
Oh, absolutely right.
Particularly on the buyer side.
And then you can go up just north of here, and we get to Rio Riba County, and title gets really complex up there, doesn't it?
It can be challenging.
Yeah.
That's a good word for it.
At the least. Well, this is a wonderful good market right now. We're seeing a lot of activity. Obviously, there's still a good amount of inventory left on the market, and it's holding prices low. So that folks are able to get in, and affordability, obviously, with low interest rates. You and I talked about something that I think we're beginning to see here in Santa Fe, and that is that some of the real estate brokers are starting to advertise and promote their properties not only with just descriptions of the house. You can always say three bedroom, two bath, but spending more time on the heritage of the families mm-hmm. that live there and promoting the property story, if you will, the family story of those properties. That's a real shift in culture, isn't it?
I believe it is, and it goes back to the realization of the dream of home ownership. When you buy a piece of property, particularly up here in Santa Fe, it is usually part of a very old family compound,
right,
if you will. And there is a lot of history that comes with that particular purchase, and it's fun to provide the record of that history.
It is indeed, and I think that it reflects a shift in America that we're getting, again, away from real estate as just an investment and getting into real estate as a home, a place where you raise your family and your grandchildren, those sorts of things. But it's much more family-oriented now than it was 5 years ago when it was strictly dollars and cents.
And the open house that we saw or heard about just a minute ago with the three bedrooms and the one bath, you know, that's what the buyers are gravitating.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get back to the smaller, the more traditional types of homes.
Absolutely, and may we all enjoy our homes. Yes, may they be good investments for us all, but maybe we should spend more time thinking about the hearts of the people that live there than necessarily the investment. Well, that's just wonderful advice. Very good conversation today. I want to thank Bill Wooten with Fidelity National Title for offering some very useful real estate commentary today. Gino Thompson, my producer, as well as Kate and Debbie at Sotheby's International, I want to thank you for being part of this show. I want to thank our loyal listeners for another terrific show. Thank you for tuning into the program today, and please join Ray Post next Sunday for a remote broadcast of All Things Real Estate from 9 Happy Trails, just off of Old Santa Fe Trail. So as Ray Post always says, until next Sunday at noon, right here on Talk 1260 KTRC, I, Steve Reiman, wish you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.
News and progressive talk for Santa Fe. Talk 1260.